How could anybody ever be angry with God? Is he not a loving Heavenly Father who has promised to provide for us, to protect us, to answer our prayers, and to forgive us of our sins, and to save us, and to take us home to heaven to be with him for eternity? How could anybody ever have any reason for being angry with God? A second question is this. When the Bible says in Ephesians that we're to be angry and to sin not, does that exclude God or does that include God? That is, are we to be angry toward others but not sin? Or can we even be angry toward God and not sin? There are a lot of people who are angry and don't know it. One of the objects of their anger is God. So a person doesn't have to be mean. A person doesn't have to be ungodly. A person does not have to be wicked and vile to be the object of someone's anger. We can even be angry with God. So I want you to turn to an incident in the Old Testament of a very angry man, and that is Jonah. If you'll turn to Jonah, and let me give you a little background. I think most of us know what was happening in the life of Jonah. But in the first chapter and the second verse, the Bible says that Jonah received a call from God, and this was the call. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And of course, you know what happened thereafter. Instead of answering God's call, he rejected God's call, decided that he'd leave the country, and he caught a ship, the Bible says, going to Tarshish. He paid the fare thereof, went down into it, on to go from them to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. And so, you remember the Bible says that God sent out a storm, and they finally found Jonah in the hull of the ship asleep. They awakened him, got him up on the deck, cast lots, and of course Jonah was the one who was identified as the problem, and so finally they threw him overboard. And he couldn't get away that way because God prepared a fish. Whether it was a whale or something else doesn't make any difference. A whale's good as anything. If God's going to swallow you, doesn't make any difference. And so the Bible says that finally, in his repentance in the midst of that fish, a whale, that he was spewed up, and he made a quick trip over to Nineveh to be obedient to God. Now, the only problem was, even though he obeyed God in action, he never obeyed him in his spirit. So, when you look at the life of Jonah, you look at a very angry man. So, I want us to read this fourth chapter, because what's happened, the third chapter, the scripture says in verse 4 of chapter 3, then Jonah began to go through the city one day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. So his message was very clear and very straight. In 40 days, this city is going to be overthrown by the judgment of God. Verse 5 says, then the people of Nineveh believed in God, called a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And then when the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation, and he said in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste the thing. Do not let them eat or drink water, but both man and beast must be covered with the sackcloth. And let men call on God earnestly that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows, God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish. When God saw their deeds, their repentance, that they turned from their wicked ways, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now you would have thought, Jonah would have said, praise the Lord, we've had a revival in Nineveh. Hallelujah. You'd have thought he'd have walked back through that city praising God and rejoicing. But look what happens. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. Now, what is it? It refers to the fact that these people heard his message, believed what he said, repented of their sins in sackcloth and ashes, and they had an awakening in Nineveh. Instead of rejoicing, he becomes a very angry man. And he prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. He said, I told you this was going to happen. And because I didn't want it to happen, he said, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. Can you imagine that? A man being so angry at some great, not calamity, but triumphant conquest of the glory of God, and here he is saying, God, I'd rather be dead than to see this. What in the world's going on? And the Lord said, do you have a good reason to be angry? Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it, and there he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord God appointed a plan, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plan. It was hot out there. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant, and it withered. And it came about when the sun came up that God appointed a scorching east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all of his soul to die, saying, death is better to me than life. Now twice he said, God, I want to die. Then God said to Jonah, do you have a good reason to be angry about the plant? And he said, I have a good reason to be angry even to death. Then the Lord said, you had compassion on the plant, for which you did not work, and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. And should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals? So, here's a man who's extremely angry. Now, I'll bet you and I could think of something far easier to get angry about than a big revival meeting. What do you suppose? Do you suppose if we had a revival in this church and we had thousands of people saved, and I mean people were coming day and night rejoicing the Lord, do you think that I'd just sort of stand around and be real angry and grumpy with God? I'd be running up and down the streets praising God, telling everybody, don't miss it. God's up to something big. Do you suppose that you and I have ever been angry over something that we didn't have any right to be angry over also with God? Well, let's see what happens here in this man's life. Look at this. Jonah gets a call from God, and God says to him, this is the message, Jonah. You just preach repentance in Nineveh, and I will do something. But he didn't tell him everything that was going to happen. He hears the call, he rebels against God, and he runs the other direction. Now, the question comes, why did Jonah do this? That is, why did Jonah get angry with God? And so then I want to talk about why people get angry with God today. Here's the reason Jonah got angry with God. When God told him to go to Nineveh, he didn't want to go. You remember what he said a few moments ago in this passage? He said, I told you what was going to happen. In verse 2, he says, when I was still in my own country, he said, I knew what was going to happen. I knew that you are a gracious, compassionate God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents concerning calamity. He says, I knew it was going to happen. Now you think, well, why was he upset? Wouldn't he have been excited? Here's the reason he wasn't excited. Jonah was a very prejudiced man. He was prejudiced against the Ninevites because the Ninevites, the city of Nineveh was a powerful city. The Ninevites were powerful people and powerful warriors, and they were a continuing threat to the nation of Israel. So Jonah saw this as an opportunity for God to destroy these people. That is, just wipe them out. And therefore, they would no longer be a threat to Israel. And so because of his prejudice, he was upset with God. The second reason was, listen, notice what happened. The Bible says that God told him to preach. Go back to chapter 1. God told him, he says, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So in verse 4 of chapter 3, here's what he does. In one day's walk, he cried out and said, yet 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. So he didn't say, unless you repent, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. He said, as a messenger and as the prophet of God, I'm telling you, this city is going to be overthrown. But they repent of their sin, and God withdraws his commitment to punish them. So what do you think that makes Jonah look like? Well, 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 this Israelite prophet over here telling us about what's going to happen, but they repented of their sins. So, you see, they weren't the ones who were thinking that. Jonah was the one who was so selfish and self-centered and concerned about his own reputation. Here he was, God had answered in the most magnificent way, and here he is angry with God for saving these people when he should have been rejoicing. He took it as defeat. Because he didn't want to see them saved. He wanted to see them wiped out by the judgment of God. So the reason Jonah was angry with God is that God didn't do what he wanted him to do. He saw that God had a wonderful opportunity to destroy the enemies of the nation of Israel, and he didn't do it, and he was responsible partly for these people being saved. Now that's a terrible thing to be angry about. But let's ask ourselves the question, why are people today angry with God? How could you be angry with God? Why are we angry with God? Why do we get angry with God? Well, I think you could sort of wrap it up in a single statement. Just put it this way. The reason people today get angry with God is because God allows things to happen which they know he could have stopped if he wanted to. We're talking about tragedies and hurt and hardship and heartache and failure. That is, God allows tragedy and failure and sickness and accidents and death and all the rest to happen. All these natural calamities, God allows them to happen when he has the power to stop it. For example, if you had lived in South Carolina and Hurricane Hugo had leveled your home, blew everything you had about 50 miles across the country, and you had absolutely nothing left, would you have a legitimate right to be angry toward God? I mean, after all, who controls the wind? God. All natural phenomenon, all of these things are controlled by God. So do those folks have a right to be angry with God? God, why did you blow away my house? All of my savings, all of everything that I have, it's gone. All the pictures, all the memories, everything's gone. Do they have a right to be angry with God? Or suppose you'd lived in California. When the earthquake came, your house, your furnishings, everything you owned, all of a sudden, you couldn't even go back in your house. They had a yellow ribbon around your house and said, it is absolutely forbidden that you go in because it is so dangerous, the whole thing's going to have to be destroyed. Would you have a right to be angry with God? Think of all the folks who get cancer. And suppose it's your son or your daughter, your husband or your wife. Do you have a right to be angry that God could stop any illness? If God's in control, why in the world has God let all these things happen? Do I have a right to be angry when I see these things? And then what about those prayers that you prayed for weeks and months and years? And God still hasn't answered your prayer to save your husband. He still hasn't answered your prayer to put your marriage back together. Don't you have a right to be angry with God who doesn't hear and answer prayer? Well, how are we to respond to these things? Are we to say, well, you know it never happened. We can't say that. So, you see, repressing it and just refusing to acknowledge that it's there, we can't do that. And so what happens is we develop anger. Most of the time, our anger toward God is directed toward him because we see things happen in our life or something that affects people we love or affects us, and things aren't turning out right, and we know that God has the power to change it, but he doesn't. God had the power to prohibit it, but he didn't. God could not have, he has the power to change any kind of circumstance, but somehow it's like God is asleep. He doesn't do it. Does that give me the right to be angry toward God? Well, whether it gives me the right to be angry toward God or not, it's not the issue. The issue is, why do we get angry? My friends, you and I could go on and on and on talking about reasons that people get angry with God. Now, they're not the reasons. That's what appears to be the reasons. They're not the real reasons. But in the mind's eye, what we see, we say, yes. It got all blown away. My house is gone. Somebody passed away. My loved one was taken. This accident happened. And here's a Christian who was taken away, and someone who's lost is left. And they're living like the devil. God, why did you take the Christian and leave the wicked one? And so anger builds up. And we have to ask ourselves the question, why? Well, you see, it's not so much that those things happen as it is that we are unaware of the ways of God. And when we don't understand the ways of God and rebel against what we see happening, then we get angry because, you see, we feel helpless. What do you do in front of a hurricane? How do you fight an earthquake? What do you do about a tidal wave? What do you do about an electrical storm? You can't do anything. We are helpless before God. Is not one of the lessons that God always attempts to teach in great calamity that God and God alone is sovereign? That man, in spite of whatever he builds and how much he builds and how strong he builds it, nothing can ever be built that God cannot destroy. So we get angry with God, but ultimately it's because we feel inadequate. We can't change it. We can't control it. We can't make God answer our prayers. How many of you have ever been angry with God because he didn't answer your prayer? I'm sticking mine up. That's right. Probably most of us at some time or the other have said, God, why don't you get with a plan? I mean, why doesn't something happen? Well, is that a sin? We're going to talk about that for a moment. But what I wanted you to see here is the primary reason is that God allows things to happen that are out of our control. And what we do is because we can't change it, make it work, we rebel against God and we shift the blame to him. And instead of trying to find out what is God doing and why he's allowed these things and how am I to respond to them, it's easier to shift the blame and blame God and get angry and tell God what he could have done if he had chosen to do so. Now, let's look at something else. What is God's response to your anger and mine? Well, Jonah's a perfect example. Now, let me say it's not a sin to be angry with God. It's a sin to remain angry with God, but it's not a sin to get angry with God. That is, angry feelings come. Now, you probably wouldn't expect this of me, but I don't mind telling you. There have been times when I've been working on a message. I've worked hard, and I've given it all I've got, and I've tried my best, and somehow it won't work. It just won't fall in place. And there have been times when I think, God, what's going on? Here I, you know, I've prayed and searched and sought and tried and I know what it says. Well, let's get with it. Heaven is silent, no sermon, nothing. Well, you said you should be more spiritual than that. Well, I probably should be, but I'm not sometimes. And sometimes I struggle with that when it doesn't come. And I think, you know, I've got other things to do also, Lord. You know, I can tell him all kind of things. It doesn't seem to impress him at all. So what's God's response when you and I get angry with him? Well, look at his response to Jonah. This is the way God responds. Look at this. First of all, notice chapter 4 now. It says, but the big spiritual awakening in Nineveh displeased Jonah. And he became angry and he started talking to God about it. Now look in verse 3. It says, therefore now, O Lord, take my life from me. I just want to check out. Verse 4. And the Lord said, do you have a good reason to be angry? So let me say, first of all, what is God's response to us when we get angry? He understands. He understands us. God doesn't get upset with you because you have angry feelings. He understands. Secondly, in that same verse, I think you can also say God is very patient, because if you notice, he says to him here, do you have a good reason to be angry? And then again, he asks him, do you have a good reason to be angry? Very patiently, God is listening to Jonah's case. Third thing I want you to notice is that God talks to him. He says, now, Jonah, do you have a reason to be angry about this? When you and I get angry with God, his response is understanding. His response is patience. And his response is that God is willing to speak to you and me in our anger. God doesn't get upset and say, when you get straightened out, just let me know. That's not God's response at all. Patiently, he speaks to us. Notice, if you will, that he cares for us. Look what happens here. In verse 6, so the Lord God, here's Jonah, full of anger, resentment toward God, just really, it's just seething within him. What does the Lord do? He doesn't just walk away and leave Jonah. The Bible says, so the Lord God appointed a plant, grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head, to deliver him from the discomfort, and Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. So what does God do? How does he respond to us in our anger? He cares for us. What else does he do? How does he respond? He loves us unconditionally. No matter what you and I say to him, no matter how angry we become, God's response toward our anger is unconditional love. You see, now remember this, you can't ever get angry enough at God to cause God to stop loving you. Most folks don't believe that. It wouldn't make any difference if I said it 1,000 times. They'd never believe it. You mean to tell me if I get real angry toward God and I just let him have it and I just curse God, you mean God will keep on loving me? Just the same. Yeah. Listen, do you realize that he'll love you just as much when you curse him as when you love him? Because God is not a reactor to our disobedience in that fashion. His love never changes, and his love for Jonah didn't change here. And I think it's very evident also that God's response to our anger is forgiveness. There's not a... Listen, in all these verses here about Jonah's anger, nowhere does God say, Jonah, you better get your act together. I'm going to send a real east wind, and it's not just going to be the plant that gets scorched. I'm going to scorch you. No place does he say that. Loving, patient, kind, forgiving, helpful, willing to talk to him, willing to carry on a conversation with him, he says here. But look in verses 9 through 11. Because here is one way God always responds to us when we're angry. And that is, he responds to us, listen carefully, he responds to us in an instructive fashion. God said to Jonah, do you have a good reason to be angry about the plant? He said, I have a good reason to be angry even to death. Then the Lord said, now Jonah, think about this. You had compassion on a plant. You didn't plant it. You didn't make it. You didn't do the work. You didn't cause it to grow. But it came up overnight and it perished overnight. You had nothing to do with it. Now Jonah, if you're concerned about a plant that is absolutely something that withers in just a few moments and is gone forever, should I not be compassionate and loving and forgiving toward a whole city of people, probably somewhere around 600,000 people? Should I not be compassionate for them? Remember this. When you and I are angry toward God, his response is always instructive. God is always in the process of teaching you and me something, even when we are angry toward him. Now, the next question we need to answer about this, and that is, how are you and I to deal with our anger? Let's say you're angry toward God. Let's say that anger is something that began way back yonder when you were a child. And all of a sudden, somebody comes along and you realize, I am angry toward God. Or it may be that something happens, an incident happens, and you recognize that you're angry toward God. How do you deal with that? Well, let's look at two or three things here. First of all, you have to start always with this, and that is acknowledge it. I am angry with God. Just think, you see, if you say, well, now, I'm angry at him and her and at this situation, but I couldn't be angry with God. You see, as long as you deny it, you'll never get delivered. But acknowledging, yes, I am angry toward God. So that's first of all. Secondly, that is, we need to express the anger. You say, well, I'm angry toward God, but how you can't fight God. How do you express anger toward God? Well, that's what I want to talk about. Because that's part of dealing with it, is expressing it. And most of us would probably feel uncomfortable expressing anger toward God. How many of you feel real comfortable expressing anger toward God? holy, righteous God. Not many. But now the truth is, we need to learn to express our anger toward God. Now, how do you express that toward him? Well, here's what you do. When you're angry toward God, you report your anger. God, I'm angry toward you, and this is what I'm angry about. Now, it may not even be the real cause of your anger, but at the moment, you say, well, God, this is what I'm angry about. You allow that hurricane to absolutely destroy, and I've lost everything I've got. Oh, God, you knew I had been waiting for marriage for all these years, and now you've taken this person right out of my life. God, I'm angry. What you do is you report to God what you're angry about, what you think God has done. Doesn't make any difference. What it is, you just express it. Then you express your feelings about it. You report to him what it is, then you express your feelings. God, I'm hurt. I feel unloved. I feel deserted. I feel rejected. I don't think you care about me anymore. You're not listening to me. You're not answering my prayers. God, I don't really think you love me. Just go ahead and tell him. You said that's not going to upset God? He's heard that since Adam and Eve. So you're not going to disappoint him, not going to upset him. You see, first of all, you acknowledge, yes, I'm angry toward God. And you express that anger. You tell him what you're angry about, and then you express how you feel about it. I am upset, God. I am disappointed. I don't feel loved. I don't feel cared for. I don't feel protected. I don't feel that you want to answer my prayer. I don't feel that you really care. Just tell him. That is, express your feelings. Now, let me tell you what the limitation is on that. Don't curse God. Amen. Don't come to God in defiance. God, I hate you. Don't come to God, Lord, that's it. God, that's it. No more church. No more Bible. Nothing to do with any more of these Christians. That's it. It's all over. Forget it, God. And walk away. No, that's not the way you deal with anger. Because what you're going to do is position yourself, if you do that, that God's chastising hand's going to have to come down strong to get you back where you ought to be. But remember we said, report what you believe the anger, what you are angry about, and then express your feelings. It's one thing to tell God, I'm hurt. I don't believe you love me. That's the way I'm, you see, you're expressing what you feel. Now remember this. You and I always know some things for certain. But then sometimes our feelings are there. We have to deal with these feelings. God, I'm disappointed. That's not what I expected. I'm hurt, God. What you're doing is you're reporting your purpose for your anger, or your reason for your anger, and you're telling God how you feel. That is legitimate. That is not sin. You are simply expressing what you feel. But when you start leaving the church, closing up the Bible, ripping it apart, ceasing to pray, that's something else. That is not the proper response. And if your response to your anger is to curse God, then, my friend, the next step is quick repentance. But let's say, for example, that's not what you do, that you simply report what has happened, and then what do? Well, it's very evident that Jonah didn't do this. But once you report, God, here's what I'm angry about, and here's how I feel. Then what you do is you submit to him. God, I feel unloved. I feel rejected. I feel deserted. I don't feel like at this moment you care. I know you do, but I don't feel it. But God, because I know you're perfect, and I know you don't make any mistakes, I don't feel it right now, God, but I yield to you. Every time I've ever been angry with God, it doesn't last long, just for a few moments. And then the next big thing is you surrender to him. If you don't, then what you do is you move from anger to pure rebellion. And my friend, rebellion, God must chastise. and simply reporting to him that I don't like what he did and the way he went about it, and reporting to him that I feel hurt and I feel rejected, I feel unloved, I feel disappointed, that's not sin. What you're doing is merely expressing what you feel. You don't have to tell him, oh God, I'm beginning to like it now. No, don't tell him that. You just say, Lord, I don't like it. I still feel hurt. I still feel these things. But Lord, I know that you're all wise. And though I don't feel loved, I know you love me. I yield. And then the next step is to search out, God, what are you trying to say to me about my relationship to you and about my life in this? That is, you search out some real benefit for God allowing you to be angry with him. Now the question comes, are there any benefits from being angry with God? Yes, they are. And let me mention them to you quickly. That is, there are benefits if you and I respond properly. But if you respond by unbelief and cursing God and defying him and rejecting him, that's a whole different story. But what benefits are there when you and I operate right? First of all, it's very emotionally healthy to tell God what you feel. If you feel rejected, unloved, and if you feel as though you've been sort of done in by him, then tell him. It is emotionally healthy to report to him and to express your feelings to him. Secondly, it strengthens your relationship. That is, when you're able to tell God exactly how you feel, it strengthens your relationship because God is going to speak to you in the process of doing so. It'll deepen your understanding of God's ways because in the process of expressing to him how you feel and you feel like God has rejected you at this particular time or God has overlooked you and God doesn't care, you're going to begin to learn that God does care. He hasn't rejected you and you learn the ways that God operates in our life. Listen, to oftentimes bring us to where we want to be, but he brings us by another path. And then, of course, the benefit is God really loves me unconditionally.
Amen.
Now, I want you to remember this. I don't believe that you can feel true, genuine, emotional love from someone toward whom you feel anger. That person may love you, and you may know it up here, but I don't believe you can feel genuine, emotional, caring love from someone toward whom you are angry. No matter how much they try to express that love, you can't feel it. Because you see, those emotions are cross-current. And that person may love you with all of their heart. They may tell you, no matter what happens, how much they love you. And you may hear it in your ears, but you say, but I don't feel it. You know why you don't feel it? You can't. And you know why a lot of folks can't feel God loving them? Because they're angry with him. And when you're angry toward God, you can't feel God's love. Oh, you know it up here. You listen. You know what happens? You sit and listen to the sermon and you say, yeah, I heard that one before. I know God loves me. Do you feel it? No. Because you can't feel genuine, true love and have anger, animosity, hostile feelings, resentment, rage, frozen rage, frozen anger on the inside toward God and feel God loving you. And I can look back in my life and realize, for years, I never was able to emotionally feel God's love. I knew it. I could preach it. Told the truth. But I somehow couldn't feel it for myself. I could feel it for other folks, but not myself. And when you deal with your anger, you know what happens? You're able to feel love. And there are multitudes of people who cannot feel God's love because they're angry. The tragedy of this story is it stops with a man who is still angry with God because he didn't get his way. I wish there were another chapter that said Jonah came to his senses, repented of his attitude, asked God to forgive him, went back to the king and rejoiced with him that God had saved Nineveh, but doesn't say that. And my friend, there are a lot of folks who go into their grave still angry with God. And listen, think about this. I can remember saying to my wife on a number of occasions, honey, I know I'm ready to die, but not really. I'm not worried about being saved, but I'm not ready to die. And she would say to me, well, why not? And I would say to her, because something's missing in my life. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And I would say to her, and I would think about this, God, I'm not ready to die. Because if I were to die now, I'd be real disappointed, God. I remember telling you, I'd be real disappointed, God, if I had to die now. Because I knew there was something in life that I'd missed. And when God set me free, and I realized and began to experience God loving me from God to man, I realized why I didn't want to die. Because I had never felt God really loving me emotionally. And the reason, I was angry with him. But I want to tell you, my friend, you can be angry with God, but you can't remain angry without getting yourself in spiritual trouble, getting out of the spirit, getting into rebellion, bitterness, and wanting to blame. When anger toward God comes, deal with it, just like on every other angle. And that is, don't let the sun go down on your anger toward God. Now, I can tell you, you're not going to feel the love of God until you get rid of your anger toward God. You'll never feel his love toward you. You can't. And you know what happens sometimes? You have a difficult time feeling the love of someone else. When you can't feel God's love, I don't believe you fully feel the love of the other person till you get that straightened out. Lord Jesus, thank you for being patient, loving, kind, forgiving, understanding, and instructive. And I pray that those who realize they're angry with you, those who don't will, those who aren't, pray for those who are, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.